Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Rumor spreading around in that Texas town. About the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go. They got a lot of nice girls.
Radio. Welcome to Tuesday, November 22nd, still 2022 now, don't get your hopes up. Hey, this is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. Thank you to our great sponsor, and that is Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download their app and check out freight, book freight, all that good stuff. TruckerTools.com is the website. You can download their app from your app store, from your cell phone. It's you can even plan your routes and get fuel stops, truck stops, parking, maintenance, Walmarts even. Check them out, truckertools.com. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and I's Radio. This here is all things trucking and then some, and we just talk about whatever's going out there on the road. And, of course, this time of year, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is Thursday. It's only 2 days away, so everybody get ready for that. And we're talking about fuel prices. We're talking about slowdowns in the trucking industry. A lot of freight rates are dropping, so we'll dip into that. So stay with us here, Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a redneck and eyes.
has opened up my eyes. And I don't wanna leave your side for that lonesome road. But here I go, climbing back behind the wheel. 50 feet of chrome and steel and alone. They need in Chicago. Through the middle of the night unknown, on a ride that won't let me go. I'm in Naples, Campbell. Underneath the stars, they don't mind to my lonely heart. Back in your arms again, I'll be out here on the wing. Sometimes late at night, I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be. Wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I do. Still I drive these horses through the rain and snow. This high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Irish Radio. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support. Redneck and Irish, redneckandirish.com. This is Redneck and Irish Radio Live, and we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out. Call-in radio show. This is your chance to get everything heard that you need to be heard, or, you know, if you want to be heard, let us know. So, yeah, it's 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along and following and listening and keeping up with us and everything. You can check out all of our social media accounts we got on our, website, redneckandirish.com, social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. We've got a pretty good YouTube channel. Everybody seems to be liking it. It's growing really well, and we're really, really, really excited about it. We got some great videos on there talking about dealing with, you know, driving. It's actually videos directed to the four-wheeler about how to drive around big trucks. And I think it's awesome because a lot of people seem to like those a lot. One of our most watched videos is actually just me explaining the interaxial differential, because a lot of people there's a lot of just rumors going around about how it actually works. So we're trying to get knowledge out there to the truck drivers, because a lot of times, you know, I just remember when I was in truck driving school, the instructor, you know, you're like, you know, what's this do? You point all the switches and they come up with it. And then, you know, interaxial differential switch, you know, what's that do? Well, you only use that if you get off road, you know, if you get stuck. One guy actually told me one time, he goes, you never flip that switch till you get stuck. And I found out later on that that's completely wrong. It's like, you never flip it when you get stuck. You need to flip it before you get stuck. And they're like, well, how do you know you're going to get stuck? And it's like, well, that's where experience comes in as a truck driver, where you know you're going to be in an off-road situation. The ground is going to be a little shaky or, you know, soft and stuff like that. You know, especially if it's if you're in a gravel lot or if it's muddy, definitely throw in the locker to help with the traction on those areas. And, you know, a lot of times it's when you're doing an uneven surfaces where you're going in and out of customers that have like a big entry, like a big slope. You see a lot of times you see vehicles get high centered to where the middle axle comes off the ground and that's where all the power is. And then they get stuck. So stuff like that. And, we kind of explained that. So we're looking to try to make things better for the trucking industry, for the drivers out there. And first and foremost, we need to do better as truck drivers. So get that out there. And talking about what's going on in the trucking world and seeing how drivers can benefit from our information, maybe even our conversations. You know, we might always be right, but, you know, at least our heart's in the right place and we're thinking about what we're trying to do and we're always willing to correct things that we get wrong or correct things that the industry gets wrong. So, you know, we want to do what we can to do our best thing out there. So glad everybody's following along with us. I can't tell you what technical difficulties. You got to get things straightened out every now and then. And there we go. We're on YouTube Live, in case you didn't know already. We're one of the ways that we broadcast out there to everybody on doing our radio show. It's a call-in radio show. It's on blogtalkradio.com. And you can actually go listen to the old episodes. But also, when we can, we'll broadcast live on YouTube while we're doing the recording, while we're doing the call-in. So if you're on YouTube and you want to call in, you just call in 515-602-9731, and that's the phone number you can call in at, and it's really great. So appreciate everybody doing that. One of the great sponsors I like to think about for that we do is Load to Ride Transportation, and you can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. That's Load to Ride Transportation, a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. And they do a good job. They keep their drivers busy, and it's, you know, it's all legit. You know, we were just talking last night, a couple of trucking companies got shut down, and it was just because they were doing things, you know, outside the realms of the law. You know, they were hiring drivers that didn't have a valid CDL. They were instructing drivers to, you know, drive illegal around the scales. And then they were, like, after the driver got shut down by DOT, they say, well, when he leaves, you just go on, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, you got to watch out for that stuff. So always find you a carrier that's got, you know, that's got good books. And, you know, talk to the drivers about all that. And, I mean, you know, a lot of times if drivers are doing any shady stuff, especially, you know, we've all done it. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I've worked for a lot of legit trucking companies. I've never worked for any non-legit trucking companies or any kind of shady stuff or whatever. But every now and then, you know, you're like, hey, man, I only got an hour to go, you know. And that's – in the trucking industry, that's what we do. You know, especially back in the day before e-logs. You know, we were getting the job done. You know, we were thinking about things like that. Like don't – it's one of those things, it's safe, but it's, you know, we know what the laws are, but we know what it is to be safe. And sometimes the law has nothing to do with safety, right? Just like we talk about right now all the time. Any time that there's a problem out there that the industry needs to help, okay, during the pandemic, what'd they do? Oh, you don't have to. You can drive over your hours because we really need to keep the supply chain going, and we're shorted to drivers, and COVID's bad and all that. So if you need to drive more than your 11 hours a day, and you need to drive haul extra weight, it's okay. Anytime there's any kind of a hurricane or disaster or whatever, they need supplies, you know, it's okay. You could take extra weight. You could drive extra hours. Well, if it had anything to do with safety, then you would never do that. You know, it's just like safety about hooking up your truck. Okay, there's certain procedures you have to follow. You cannot skip a procedure in hooking up your truck because it's about safety. So if it's really about safety, then you shouldn't be skipping steps, basically, is what needs to be said, right? So thing like that is what we're talking about. So keep track of that when you do. And yeah. You know, that's what we do talk about around here. They're talking about big industry slowdown right now. The index, what did it say here? I saw it on here. ATA truck tonnage index slips 2.3% in October. I'm thinking that it's probably going to be it's going to keep slipping. And the reason this is because that's how you get inflation under control, is things got to slow down. What they did was is that, and if you guys don't know this, so basically most trucking companies, especially trucking companies, but especially credit cards or bank loans, things like that, operate off of borrowing money, right? And it's an interest rate. Well, that interest rate sometimes is set based on what the interest rate is for the Federal Reserve, because if the big bank needs to borrow money, they borrow it from the Federal Reserve. There's a percentage rate. Used to be it was like 0% or 0.02%, or it was really low. And that, and they kept that going, making it easy to borrow money. So people were able to borrow money whenever they wanted. The big banks could borrow it at low percentage. They would then re-loan it to somebody else for a little slightly higher percentage, and so on and so forth. Well, now, because of inflation, they've had to raise the interest rates to just, like, gobble up the cash. They can't have that much money floating around out there, because then it becomes worthless, right? That's basically what's happening, is that when the federal government has to spend money, they have to print money. And when they print money, the money becomes less valuable, just like anything else, okay? If you have only so much of one item, that item is valuable. But when now you have an abundance of one item, it becomes less valuable. We all know this with the whole, you know, if you want to do conspiracy theories with the, the diamonds in the world. Diamonds are expensive. Well, diamonds are expensive because they're rare. But come to find out, a lot of people say, well, they're not really that rare. It's just the people that own the industry, that control the industry, they make them rare. They actually gobble them up on the lower end and then store them and keep them or destroy them or whatever, and they're less rare. So that way they can keep their prices high. And, and that's the way gold is. Gold gets bought and sold based off the value of the currency because of, you know, how valuable or how much money is out there. So, you know, we're gold, when times are bad and inflation is high, gold is more valuable. You know, because it's, like I said, the money is just not out there. You know, nobody wants money. You know, you want, in fact, the thing it is, though, is right now, because prices keep going up, you buy assets that are going to grow up in value. So you see right now a lot of real estate getting, bought now and then held, you know, because they're like, that's an asset that's going to increase in value, stuff like that. So property, you know, real estate, houses, buildings, stuff like that. I see it all around down here. There's empty buildings everywhere, and they say they're for sale, but they're really, really expensive, like really expensive. Houses too, tons of houses for sale, really expensive. And then you see some houses that are really cheap. Of course, they need a lot of work and everything, but those people need to get rid of that house. They cannot afford to hang on to that house. So when people can't afford to hang on to it, they'll hang on to it and wait for the prices to go back up for that value, because they're waiting on the, they're waiting on the economy to get better. But again, it's about the value of your currency, about the money. And everybody out there, if you've got a job and you're out there paying bills and, yeah, things are getting more expensive and la-da-da-da-da, and they're like, well, I'm making pretty good money. I got money in the bank, and I'm still able to buy gas and all that like that. The problem with it is that every time inflation goes up, the money in your bank account is less valuable. Doesn't matter if you spend it or don't spend it. It's the money is sitting there is less valuable. So when they say inflation, you know, I mean, a lot of the Democrats, they're talking about it. They say inflation, you know, our wages don't keep up with inflation. You know, every time you get a raise, you think, well, I got a raise every year. We get a raise every year. And then you talk to somebody, you know, that kind of doesn't really like it that we don't get paid that well, or they think that we don't get paid that well. They're like, if you look at your raise and you look at annual inflation, they're the same. So basically, you're not really getting a raise. You're just getting an increase based on the inflation. And I did look at that, and good thing is that the company I work for, their pay rate increase was about maybe like 1-2% more than the annual inflation rate. So that was pretty good. And then now, with things slowing down, you might not see that big of an increase, depending on everything. You know, we got a pretty big raise this last year. And then stuff started slowing down. And then now everybody's like on pins and needles thinking about if they're going to get fired or not. So, you know, it's six one way, half a dozen the other, if you think about it. But again, it's about tonnage slowing down. So you're going to see freight slowing down because companies are not able to borrow money like they want to be able to buy the products that they want to buy. Just like for Black Friday, if they can't afford to take on the debt or they're unsure about, you know, I shouldn't buy this much stuff to sell on Black Friday because I don't know if it's going to sell or not. They might not buy as much, which means that there's not that much freight in the truck, which means the load pays less. So just watch out for that. You know, everybody's kind of, you know, what is it? You know, they're kind of just holding back. And the big companies are still going to be out there. They're going to do it because they've got the money. You know, Walmart doesn't have to take on debt. You know, they got the cash flow to be able to sustain a Black Friday fail if it does, you know. But we're already talking about, what do they call it, Black Friday. And then there's a small business Saturday where American Express sends out a big commercial saying go out and spend money at small businesses on Saturday. And then there's Cyber Monday, which means you go online and start shopping online Monday. There's probably a big thing on Amazon for that. And then Tuesday, top of the list here, of truck driver trucking news is truckersnews.com, and it is consider helping truckers in need on Giving Tuesday next week. And of course, Giving Tuesday, I don't know who created this logo. It's a big logo. One of the big banks probably did this, you know. I don't know. It's just, that's the top deal. Of course, it got released today, and it's, like I said, truckersnews.com. And it's there are uncertain economic times. Freight markets have softened. Inflation abounds. Diesel prices flirt with or surpass all-time highs because there's more than little speculation about the recession next year. It goes, now, imagine being out of work or just down on your luck financially these days. Many truckers are in those tough spots. And they're talking about Giving Tuesday next week. It says, there's hope. There's an organization with big hearts that help truckers in need on Tuesday, November 29th, that help those nonprofits and truckers with their families who may be in need. Why November 29th? That's Giving Tuesday, a movement created 20 years ago as a counterbalance to Black Friday and Cyber Monday's focus on spending. In 2021, the estimated $2.7 billion were donated in 24 hours in the U.S. alone. 9% increase over the prior year, and you think, okay, so this sentence right here, 9% increase over the prior year, and now we look at it and you look at the reports, that's the inflation rate. So it really didn't increase. It was pretty much the same, you know, dollar for dollar as far as the inflation rate. And it says, but then it says a 30% increase from pre-pandemic levels. It says on last year's Giving Tuesday, 35 million adults participated by offering gifts of time, skills, goods, and money, as well as simple acts of kindness inspired by the movement. As Giving Tuesday looms, there are some organizations whose aim to help truckers in need, and goes in, if you are of a mind to do some come next Tuesday, you could do worse than donate to one of these groups. And of course, they list a bunch of them. And there's Truckers Final Mile. You know, we know the folks over there. That's good folks. And if you guys don't know, any of you non-trucking people out there, either listen on the phone or what do you call on YouTube, Truckers Final Mile. There are several different organizations, but Truckers Final Mile is one of them. And this is an organization that helps reunite the truckers and their families in times of crisis. That provides services for North American truck drivers and their families, including transportation and lodging in the events of serious emergency, like a loss of life. And basically it is. And, you know, I was talking with the guy, Robert Palm. I've known him for a little bit. And I was talking to him about that. And I was asking him how busy he is. And he is always busy. He says it happens nearly on a daily basis that a truck driver will pass away in his truck somewhere out on the road. and the company that he works for is unable to pay or refuses to pay to transport his belongings and him and him back to his family back home. It says they either, you know what it is, it's an insurance thing. I don't know if you guys see it, when you go work for a big company, they always give you, like, you know, they say, well, we provide, you know, at no cost to you, a $10,000 or $20,000 life insurance policy. Now, if anybody's ever dealt with life insurance don't pay out right away. Life insurance is a something that takes a process. You got to send them the paperwork, and they've got to send it through their chains and all that stuff. So if you don't have any money put away or are able to, like, you know, pay for these needs, then you have to wait on that money. Well, you know, by the time that happens, then everything's done, you know, and or the prices go up, you know, because they, you know, a lot of these organizations, what do you call the, you know, coroners or funeral homes or whatever, you know, they charge, you know, by the day or whatever. But it is a costly process, a lot of laws, a lot of government red tape, and Trucker's Final Mile helps to weed through all that. They got a lot of experienced people that do that. So that's a good charity that do that, where, you know, truck driver passes away out on the road or gets severely sick. But mostly it's all passing away. It's not necessarily sometimes it's with getting, like, he says that there's some where they've got, like, one of those career-ending accidents, you know, where the truck driver lost a limb or something like that, and they're in a hospital out in a different part of the country, and they need to be transported. A lot of truck drivers don't have any family to help them out, to come get them or to, you know, drive them back or whatever. So that kind of stuff is what Trucker Final Mile does, and they're good people over there. One of the other organizations we always see, and I'll just take this. I'll tell you, Christopher's, the St. Christopher Fund, Truckers Relief Fund, good organization, very heavily funded, okay? They're part of OIDA, and they do a lot of good, okay? But they are a very large organization. And going over here, it says, since it was established, the organization has helped almost 3,300 truckers with some $3.7 million. It aids over-the-road regional truck drivers and their families when an illness or injury occurring within the last year has caused them to be out of work. The St. Christopher Fund also provides programs that will benefit professional drivers and the trucking industry, like, to help them with smoking or diabetes, with the flu, different pneumonia vaccines and everything. So it looks like they're helping truck drivers with some kind of medical assistance too. I knew that what they did was when the driver got sick or got into an accident and they were unable to work, the St. Christopher Fund could help them out. And it's not necessarily where, you know, it's not like Aflac, okay? They just help out with the basic needs. But they help out a lot of truck drivers, and they're hooked to OIDA, which means they, you know, they're in cahoots, you know, they got it going on. And it's a good place. It's, you know. Let's see here. What is a Trucker Buddy? Trucker Buddy is a good one. You know, it's really not, to me, it's all about education. It's kind of how we are. Trucker Buddy, it's a pen pal program where professional drivers are paired with classrooms. The drivers communicate to the class through the teacher, and the kids learn about geography, math, as well as improve their reading and writing skills. This nonprofit organization is 100% funded by donations and sponsorships from businesses and individuals. It also provides grant money and resources to teachers and classrooms. Yeah, I've dealt with those guys before. You know, I've been one of the truck drivers and all that, and it's a good spot. And I wish that it was bigger. I wish that it was able to do it. That what they do, they just rely on what do you call they rely on donations and sponsorships, but also they rely on people volunteering. They rely on teachers contacting Trucker Buddy saying, I want my classroom to be part of this. And then they rely on truck drivers to actually say, I'll do it. And that's, you know, that's the hard part, is the getting the drivers to volunteer. And they've got a deal. You go on there, the Trucker Buddy, you look them up on the internet and you'll see their website, and they got a lot of good deals where if you're a truck driver looking into maybe volunteering with that, you know, I think they need drivers. So check them out. That's Trucker Buddy. So, let's see. Truckers Christmas Group, I've never heard of this one. Over the last 13 years, a group organized and operated by truckers has raised some $127,000 to aid over 217 trucking families. Last year, the group gave 35 families grants of $650 each to ensure that they had a Merry Christmas despite being in need. In addition to accepting donations, the group holds fundraising events and has an online store. Well, there you go. So that's one of the ones where they just do it Christmas time. You know, make sure everybody has a good Christmas dinner, that kind of thing. And it says Truckers Christmas Group, pretty good thing going on there. And then this one here, it says Meals for 18 Wheels. It says sometimes truckers can't get something most of us take for granted, a hot meal, relying on volunteers. They will put hungry drivers in touch with local folks willing to deliver a hot home-cooked meal to them and their truck. They can also help drivers and their families who need assistance putting food on their tables. The big thing is sometimes the getting the food to the truck drivers, maybe they're up there where bad weather struck and they're unable to get to a place. A lot of times you'll see where bad weather will happen and the truck stop will be full of trucks. They can't go nowhere. The roads are closed or whatever. And the truck stops just closed down because guess what? If the roads are closed, then people can't get to work to come work at the truck stop. And a lot of times you'll see, I remember, and I think it was Idaho, was it Idaho or Wyoming? One of the two where they were using snowmobiles to get food to the stranded truckers that were stuck at the truck stops and the truck stops were closed. So, you know, that kind of thing where, you know, different places, because some truck stops, you know, a lot of times if you're traveling out there, especially out west where the snow can get bad, maybe even up there in the northeast, like a Buffalo area where they get hit hard, you'll see a little hometown truck stop. They'll be open because if the roads are open, they're open. If they can get to work, they'll figure it out and they'll do it because that's who they are. But a lot of times these truck stops, they're just a corporate deal where nobody that actually has any like stake in keeping the place open, you know, they just hourly workers. So when they can't get there, they're like, I am not going to work. You know, so they can't open, and that's where the truck driver gets stranded. You know, it's where these that's why these little mom and pop truck stops are so they're so necessary in these areas where stuff can just shut down. You know, especially out there in the middle of nowhere. So if you see them out there, if the weather's good and you see a hometown you know, one of these mom and pop truck stops, stop in. You know, and just that's what we need. We need more of these that have a stake in keeping that place open. And because they need, you know, that's what they care about is keeping the truck stop open. And the Meals on 18 Wheels, that's what they do is they help with that. So, and of course, I can't finish it off. The article does not mention it. That's the end of the article. But Redneck and I, we are a 501c3 charity. We are an educational nonprofit to where our money that we take in for any kind of donations goes straight to promoting our radio channel and everything so that we can get the word out to truckers to help truckers and help the industry become a better place. So if you're thinking about giving to something, you know, you go to our website and it's right there. You know, all of the information you need for our, what, like I said, we are a nonprofit. So please, if you got anything to spare, let us know. Giving Tuesday, we appreciate everybody's support on that. So yeah, everything's going on with that and we appreciate everybody doing that. And there we go. So yeah. Well, let's see here. Let's keep it going. And where are we at? I'm just trying to look here. There you go. So yeah, we're just going to, we got about, what is it? What time is it? Yeah, about a little less than 30 minutes left. So check us out. RedneckAndEyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. We'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. Yeah.
said, I left California back in 76. Music died, Jimi Hendrix. Things got crazy in San Francisco. But Simon crossed the country, man, thought it would freeze. I followed Buck to the Florida Keys. I nearly got busted with a load of snow white cargo. But I picked up this boat in the illegal deal. You could say I got a hell of a steal, but I couldn't stay there, so I headed for his love, my dog. But as a sea captain, man, I ain't worth a damn. Out in the ocean, I got all turned around and lived in a bowl of birds with a hole in my nose. But I said, if I ain't sinking, well, I must be swimming. If I ain't dead, I must be living. Living is the thing that scares me the most. And if I ain't sleeping, well, I better be fishing. If I ain't anchored, I will be drifting. But all in all, I guess I'm doing pretty good since I hit my third coast. See, I quit the weed, poking holes in my arm. You gotta stay straight, weather these storms. It's blowing off the gulf in the fall of the year. See, Port Boulevard, it was a blessing to me. Gave me a chance to give it back to the sea. And I thank God every morning when I wake up, and I'm still here. And I ain't sinking, so I must be swimming. I ain't dead, so I must be living. And living is the thing that scares me the most. And if I ain't sleeping, well, I better be fishing. If I ain't anchored, I will be drifting. But all in all, I'm doing pretty good since I hit my third coast. Make ends meet. When you're on your knees, you gotta listen for the ring. If you're gonna answer the call, 'cause fishing ain't fishing if fishing ain't fun. Living ain't living unless you feel like you won. Winning ain't winning if it ain't worth the cost. You see, if you ain't sinking, well, you're swimming. You ain't dead, you're living. Living is a thing that better scare you most. And if you ain't sleeping, well, you better be fishing. You ain't anchored, you will be drifting.
All in all, you'll be doing pretty good. But when you find your third place, when you find your third coast. Yeah, old Jack would roll out of his bunk about 6:30 in the morning and say, Larry Joe, you learn how to sail today? If you do, you better get up. See, boy, you got to get your sea legs, don't you? You got to get right. You got to roll with them waves. You listen to me? You just like all the rest. You ain't listening, boy.
Truckers, welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Radio. Appreciate everybody following along and joining us tonight. 515-602-9731. That's the phone number. Give us a holler. It's all things trucking and then some. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a call. Like I said, 515-602-9731 is the phone number. This is Blog Talk Radio is what we're on, and it's a call-in radio show, but we're also on YouTube Live right now also as well. So if you're on YouTube and you want to chime in, you know, I'm looking at the comments and everything. I'm trying to keep up with that, but it's hard. So if you really want to get through, the best way to do it is give us a call at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody doing along. I was checking the news, and they're still worried about, you know, even the trucker.com has an article about freight, the spot rates drop. So it's, you know, people are getting worried. And yeah, I mean, yeah, this is what was expected. I expected it. I don't know if anybody out there didn't expect it, but it's just, if you follow the news and see what's going on, you know, inflation rates, the inflation was high, and then they raised the interest rates, and when they do that, the economy slows down. That's what they do. They try to, you know, if the economy is slow, then they lower the interest rates to keep it up. Well, when the economy is, you know, the really problem is that, like, all these years, I mean, I'm talking like since Bush was in office, they've always kept the interest rates really low, the Federal Reserve kind of thing, right? They've done that where they've kept the interest rates really low all the time. So when the economy slows down, there's really nothing they can do to kind of, so that's why you see all these, the government spending with the stimulus, we need stimulus and all that. And that's really the problem that we've actually, it's come and due where you're not going to be able to do this any much longer because the stimulus is what creates inflation. When you print money that you don't have and throw it into the economy to get people to spend money, then you get inflation. That's what they did during COVID. You know, everybody got shut down, said, stay home, don't go anywhere. And they said, well, how am I going to, you know, buy groceries? Oh, don't worry, we'll send you money. And they did that. I got money. If you didn't get money, something wrong. I wasn't even asking for it. I got it in the mail, money, $1,200. Went out and bought me a new TV, still had money to burn, put it in the bank. I might have bought some stock because I don't know if y'all noticed, but when COVID hit and everything shut down, when the airlines shut down, the airline stock was like at $40 a share for American Airlines. When the airlines got shut down because of COVID, the stock went down to like $8. And guess what I did? I bought a bunch of it. And I ended up making a lot of money. And, you know, of course, you know, you gotta spend it, right? But it's one of those things where maybe you didn't, maybe you're not into the stock market that much, but if you get into it a little bit, not to say that you can't, you know, don't dive in and throw all your money into it that way and then don't have any money at all. I'm talking like any extra money you have, any extra cash, create you a little Robinhood account. There's tons of apps. Robinhood's a great one. I have Robinhood, where you can just transfer money. They'll even send you a debit card to where you can spend that money. So you could actually, Robinhood's like a bank. So you get an online bank account. They send you a debit card. You transfer money out of your regular bank account into that account. And then you can buy and trade. You can buy and sell stock all day long. And then like when you sell the stock, let's say that you bought the stock and then a week later you sell it and made a bunch of money. Well, that money is sitting now in your Robinhood account. You got a debit card. You can go spend that money. Boom, done. You know, so, you know, don't, I'm not saying, you know, it'll get you if you don't watch out because you'll buy a stock and the stock not do anything. You know, just it's savings. It's a savings account. I think even Robinhood pays an interest rate, a pretty high interest rate, if you put money, transfer money into their accounts. If you keep money into their account, like even if it's just cash, no stock is bought, you can make money off of that. You know, it's, and that's the thing too. I remember, my parents at one time, they didn't, you know, like my mother worked at a bank and she had her bank accounts at the bank she worked at. Well, then she went over here to this other bank and opened up a savings account. And I'm wondering, I said, why do you do that? Why would you take money out of the bank that you work at because you want to support that bank and you go open a savings account at another bank? Why would you do that? Because at the time, back in the, what was it called? I mean, just in the 80s, there was the FDIC, which is like the, what is it called? The Federal Deposit Deal. And then there was the FSLIC, and that was Federal Savings and Loan Insurance. So there was a different insurance for the savings and loan. And so there were banks that were not regular banks, they were savings banks. They were savings and loan banks, which means that they didn't have checking accounts. They only had savings accounts, and they had loans. And in order for you to get a loan at that savings account, or to get a loan at that bank, you had to have a savings account there. And basically, it's everywhere else. Anytime you walk into a bank and you want a loan, they'll tell you they won't give you a loan unless you have a checking account there. So you see a lot of people do that. A lot of businesses do that. I see now these days businesses have multiple accounts to where that way they can establish some kind of rapport and get loans or transactions at those banks. So that's what they did. They went and opened a savings account because not only because I think later on they eventually got a loan from that bank, from that savings and loan. I'm not sure if they ever did or not, but what I know for sure, because what she said when I asked her, that savings account pays their interest rate, like annual interest rate to pay on that money, was like three times higher than any other account in any other bank in the area. So if you had money, like a lot of money that you wanted to put away for a rainy day, you put in that account, you opened up that account. And you see it all the time where they advertise that this savings account over here pays 3%. And at that time, because the interest rates were so high back in the 80s when they were trying to slow down that inflation during 79, 80, 81, it was really, really high inflation. So the interest rates were around 20%. So if you had money to save, you could get almost 20% on your, annual percentage rate. So yeah, that's what you wanted to do. What am I doing? No, it's not going to work. But yeah, so that's what's going on now. If you've got an opportunity to save some money, look for that account that pays a higher percentage for your savings. And that way you can save money, and you want to save money in the right way. Now, you don't necessarily have to buy stock. If you don't know about the stock, don't buy the stock. And that I learned that in the process of the Robinhood. Sometimes you can spend hours on there. And I tell you what, I would rather you hang out and just scroll around on Robinhood than scroll around on, TikTok for hours, because you could really find some stocks and they'll have little articles and little stuff about, how well this stock is doing and all that. And the one thing I learned, that if you don't know nothing about the company and you don't know nothing about the industry that company is in, stay away from it, because you don't know. So I bought some trucking stocks, and I bought, stuff you know about, And at the time, everything was down during the pandemic. So you were, that's what you bank on. So that's always a good thing to do, is to have money in a Robinhood account and just continue to save. And then when the next big thing hits, you don't have to worry about waiting on the transfer to happen. You can buy the stock right then and there. As soon as it falls, as soon as it gets announced or whatever, you can cash in on all that. So that's, so like right now, I would bank on saving money. And then wait until Twitter goes back public, because I bet you it's going to go back public. That's how Elon Musk is going to make his money back. He's going to take it public if we can get. And the reason I know this is because that's what Jerry Moyse did for Swift. If you don't know that story. Might be for a different time. We got about 5 minutes left of the show, but anybody follows Swift Transportation? Swift was a publicly traded company back in the 90s, and then they merged with MS Carrier, and there was a lot of deals going down with the stock and moving around and all that stuff, and Jerry Moyse got investigated, and it really was not a big deal. I mean, it's really bad when they, of course, if you don't, I mean, let's just face it, okay? Stock purchases and all that stuff with the big money moving around and Wall Street and all that, it really is a good old boy club. And I think Jerry Moyse at the time, he just wasn't playing with all the other people up there, and he was running a trucking company. And what he does is that whenever the prices go up and down, Jerry Moyse, to maintain controlling interest, always either buys or sells stock. He'll sell stock to get cash, and then he'll buy stock to make sure that he, it's kind of like a buyback program is what they do. When I was working for Swift, they had a purchase program. Every driver would get stock purchased, and you would put in so much money, and you would get stock, and you get a discounted rate, because what happened is the company was buying the stock and then selling it back to you at a cheaper rate. So they were giving you shares that, and it was kind of like a, what is it called? Like a profit share kind of thing. Right. But anyway, so a lot of times the stock would split, and it did that for a long time. over and over again, like, you know, every year it would almost split. I think one year it actually split like three times because Swift was growing so fast. But anyway, Jerry Moyes always buys and sells stock on, pretty much on a daily basis just to keep tabs on all that stuff. Well, there was the big trade came through with MS Carrier, and because he bought and sold stock at a certain time, they came down hard on him with, you know, fines and all that stuff. And basically the board of directors had to have him step down, and it was one of the punishment things. So he was upset because, you know, hey, when you build a company and you're the one, your blood, sweat and tears are the ones that go into the building that company. That's your baby. And so what he did was, is he went to like Morgan Stanley or somebody like that and got a huge loan, like $600 million or whatever it was. And he bought back Swift and bought it off the market. Like, it's now a privately owned company at this time. And that was back in what, maybe 2007 or eight, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but he bought it off the market, took it completely off the market. Just kind of like how Elon Musk did. Elon Musk bought Twitter. Twitter now is owned by Elon Musk. And of course the investors and banks and all that people that support him. It's not stock, right? Nobody can just buy it. So Jerry Moyes did that with Swift. Well, then like maybe a year later, he puts it back on the market to sell the stock, like does the IPO. And of course the stock trades again, and then they start buying like Transmex and all that stuff. And, you know, and that was years ago. And then he kind of like stepped down from CEO, but he was still technically the owner. Like he was the board of director or the chairman of the board or whatever. And, I don't know what's happened since. I mean, I've left the company since, so I haven't really paid attention. But as a driver that works for that company, you always want to keep tabs going on with that, you know. So if you work for a company and they've got – if it's either privately owned or it's on the market where you can buy stock. So one of the two, find out what that is with your company. Of course, you know, they're always going to share their information with you. A good company is going to make sure that all its employees are aware of what it's doing as far as this business is. And, you know, whether they got profit sharing or, you know, a stock purchase plan or something like that to where you can – that's part of your retirement. That's part of your retirement package that they offer you. So yeah, just check up on that and keep tabs on how that goes and all that. So you never know. You know, see how it goes. But, so yeah, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. I got to get to work. So we got to see you tomorrow night for sure. If I won't be on the show, Tiff will be on the show. We're going to make sure we get our technical difficulties worked out, but we're definitely going to try to be on YouTube again because on Thursday and Friday, we will not be here. So after the show tomorrow night, we will not see y'all again until Monday night. Okay, just so you know. So until next time, let's see. Let's get things fired up here. What do you think we ought to do? And Nah, that's not what I want. Go by all the way down here to the bottom. That's not what. Nope. There it is. There we go. So, yeah, check us out. Like I said, it's redneckandeyes.com. And make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate all that. You can get all the social media on our website, redneckandeyes.com. You can also get links to all of our sponsors at redneckandeyes.com. One of the other sponsors that I wanted to mention was DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. And that's where you can get all of the parts you need for your SCR, DPF, RGN. What did I say, RGN? It's EGR. And I tell you what, man, these letters get confusing sometimes. But it's EGR, EGR cooler, charge air cooler. They even got some turbos over there. So go check them out. It's dpfregeneration.com. And yeah, we're just going to bust on out of here. So let's knock it out. And appreciate everybody's support of Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. So until next time, y'all be safe, be successful, and keep between the ditches. We'll see you out there on the road. Got 13
tobacco out of the Carolinas. California wine is in the Birmingham. Some people work just to survive, yeah. But up here in this cab, that's when I'm most alive. I'm a prisoner of the highway, driven on by my restless soul.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckanize was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckanize.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckanize.